You see it. This is the time and the place set in the matter of the hearing concerning proposed amendments to South Dakota Codified Laws, Chapter 16-2, more specifically the South Dakota Code of Judicial Conduct. Record may further show that proper notice has been given to the public in the bar, and clerk has advised me that we've received no request to address the court. We do operate this on a fairly informal basis, and understand that the committee who has drafted the proposals does have a representative, and we would hear from him or her at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The rules for consideration today are proposed by the Code of Judicial Conduct Committee. That committee consisted of 7 members of the judiciary and 3 attorneys, and was assisted by Rex Craven and I as reporters for the committee. The charge of that committee was to make suggested changes to the canons of judicial conduct following the United States Supreme Court's decision in Minnesota versus White, which, as I'm sure you're aware, changed the political landscape in judicial elections and the effect of the First Amendment in those elections. Following Minnesota versus White, there was a remand case to the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. In that remand case, they struck down Minnesota's partisan activities clause, and also determined that the challenge provisions related to the solicitation clause were also unconstitutional. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals has also held that the solicitation clause was unconstitutional. With that as a background, the American Bar Association in 2003 in 2005 proposed changes to the canons of judicial conduct. Those changes, and specifically the 2003 changes, were the kind of the operating point for the committee in making suggestions for the canons of judicial conduct. The 2005 proposals are very recent. They're in a tentative form, but the committee did review those, and it did take parts of that where it felt appropriate and inserted those into the proposed amendments. 7 states have adopted the 2003 ABA proposals, and as I mentioned, that is kind of the groundwork, and that's been out there, and that has received some judicial review. The basis for those proposals is a heightened definition of impartiality, which has been approved by the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. That definition is intended to strengthen the statement of a compelling state interest in regulating these judicial campaigns. And as I know you're all aware of the canons, and you've reviewed the proposals, those also included committee comments, which went into extensive detail concerning what the committee did and why they did it. And so I won't burden you with trying to review all those. I would just mention that the terminology section and the partiality is sort of the baseline for the changes. Those are carried through canons 1 and canon 2. It makes that definition applicable to both sitting judges and candidates, which was one of the problems with the announced clause, is that it was only subject to candidates. In Canon 3, the Pledges, Promises, and Commitments Clause, as newly constructed, is also applicable to sitting judges. There's a strengthened recusal provision. That recusal provision has been upheld by almost every court that has looked at that when they were considering whether or not that was a compelling state interest to require judges to recuse themselves. And so I think the committee believes that that provision is very well grounded. There's also a proposed repository with the clerk of the Supreme Court in the event that candidates answer questions submitted by parties seeking their input or their stances on certain issues. That would provide a place where those questionnaires or answers can be kept track of in the event that the recusal provisions need to be looked at down the road if a particular party or issue could be affected by those answers. Under Canon 5, there's a loosening of some of the restrictions that are previously applicable to judges running for election and also sitting judges. That's a direct response to the remand decision by the 8th Circuit in Minnesota versus White. In addition, Canon 5 also contains the Pledges, Promises, Commitment Clause as newly structured. Some of the the more vague references to faithful performance of duties and appear to commit were eliminated from that clause in order to more adequately state a compelling state interest. One of the more significant changes from that Canon 5 is in 5C2 concerning solicitation. The courts that have addressed the issue have held that direct solicitation is acceptable, and it would be a restriction of the judge's political speech and right to associate to limit that ability to directly solicit. As you know, under current law, candidates were kind of kept secret from the solicitation of money process and support, and that was handled through committees. The proposed changes would encourage the use of committees, as the committee feels that that's ultimately the best way to preserve the judicial integrity and impartiality. But based on the case law in this area, the committee did not feel that was something that could be mandated. And concerning that, the changes in that Canon 5C2, there was a supplemental proposal submitted by the committee. And what that supplemental proposal is SDCL 1292 currently limits political parties from contributing or endorsing to judges seeking election. As a result of that, the committee didn't want to encourage candidates to actively seek contributions or endorsements from political parties, because the penalty for that is a Class 2 misdemeanor. However, if in the event that that statute is repealed, and I believe it's fair to say the committee's opinion was that that statute is constitutionally suspect, but if it is repealed, then the committee has proposed contingent rule that would go into effect that would allow candidates to solicit political parties. There's also a provision to the appendix to 16.1A concerning special committees. Those special committees would be proposed to consist of 9 members, 2 retired judges or justices, 3 attorneys, and 4 citizens appointed on a bipartisan basis. That committee would provide information and guidance to candidates concerning what is or what is not appropriate. The only specter of enforcement, if there is a campaign violation for that committee, is the ability to sort of go public with a violation. And the committee felt that while that's not a substantial threat, that is something that's very real that candidates would consider before they run afoul of these rules proposed in the campaign area. The committee also proposes a repeal of the appendix to 12.9. Currently, that contains most of the provisions applicable to judicial elections. The committee did a line-by-line review of that appendix and saved what it could and moved what it could into the canons of judicial conduct, and everything else the committee recommends being stricken. And if there are no other questions, I believe that's all I have.
Any questions from the bench for Mr. Sadathan? Not. Thank you for your presentation. Any further speakers today? If not, the court would like to extend its appreciation to the committee that spent, I don't know how many hours, I doubt they kept track, but I know they were all very busy people and were good enough citizens to participate in this very significant project. And on behalf of the court, thank you to the members of the committee. There being no further comments, the court will be in recess at this time and will consider the proposals. We are in recess. Thank you.